You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Welcome to another episode of CLNS Media Boston Celtics Post Game Live. I am your host, Nick Sesento, joining you for another episode in which the Boston Celtics extend their league-best winning streak of 9 games, improving to 10-1 on the season, 5-1 on the road, with a 105-100 victory, marching into, San Francisco is where the Warriors play now. I think they've moved. They haven't moved, well, then they'll be moving soon. But marching into the Warriors' home court and snatching a victory away from a Warriors team that has the worst or one of the worst records in the league, but who seemed bound and determined to give the Boston Celtics fits. And if the Boston Celtics fits, they did. They came out the gates with guns blazing, outscoring the Boston Celtics 32-23 in the first quarter, making it difficult for the Celtics. But the Celtics came roaring back in the second quarter, outscoring Golden State 29-19. And in the third quarter, 24-20, before battling to a stalemate, 29-29 for, as I said, 105-100 victory. In a game which saw Kemba Walker start out shooting an atrocious percentage from the field, but using that world-renowned Boston Celtics grit and balls, Kemba Walker learning early, learning quickly what it means to be a Boston Celtics player, to grab his lunch pail, put on his hard hat, dig deep and go to work, and hit the shots when they mattered. Finishing the game a terrible 6-for-19. That's less than, I believe, 30% or less than a third from the field. 3-for-12 from three, that's 25%, but finishing with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and scoring when it matters. Not to mention a steal and a block again. I think this is the second or third game in a row in which he's had a block. Jason Tatum didn't shoot all that well himself, shooting just above 30%, 8-for-23 from the field. Terrible from behind the arc, 2-for-7, but finishing with 24 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and 3 steals. Jason Tatum with that defense, using his length, shooting the passing lanes, getting easy buckets off the intercepted passes. Jaylen Brown, can't leave Jaylen Brown out. The other, don't want to call this a three-headed monster because there's just so many great players on this team. This is like a five-headed monster when it wants to be and when everybody's healthy. Get well soon, Gordon Hayward, by the way. 22 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. More defense from Jaylen Brown, shooting a more respectable 9-from-17 than his, big 3, if that's what you want to call them in this game. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, his big 3 counterparts. 9-for-17 from the field and a perfect 3-for-3 from downtown. Jaylen Brown flexing his muscles, showing off his improved physique and his improved game. Jaylen Brown couldn't do it without him. Of course, Marcus Smart, always doing Marcus Smart things. As I mentioned in the previous post-game show this past, I believe it was Wednesday, as Boston Celtics hosted the Washington Wizards, dispatched the Wizards despite a 44-point game from Bradley Beal. Marcus Smart continuing to not only play the stretch six, as he likes to call it. He's a six man, but he's filling in for Gordon Hayward during his 6 weeks or so injury with a left metatarsal fracture. 15 points on 5 for 12 shooting, 5 for 9 from 3. That's right, 5 for 9 from 3. Marcus Smart has slowly and quietly over the past couple of seasons turned into a reliable three-point shooter and not the same kind of chucker that he used to be, where he hit a shot, he'd feel himself, and then he'd end up going, you know, 3 for 12 from downtown. No, an efficient Marcus Smart, a Marcus Smart that made huge plays down the stretch, a big save, I believe it was Marcus that made that save down the line that was overturned with review. The refs didn't want to give the Celtics, they're due, but they got it with the review. Wasn't a coach's challenge, it's a regular review. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. Micah Smart. Not much production from the bench, though. Boston Celtics not getting very much from the bench at all. Best player off the bench, also with the most minutes off the bench in 18 minutes, Brad Wanamaker. 9 points, 3 assists, a rebound, and a steal on 2 of 4 shooting. Again, getting to the line. he made the second most free throws on the team, shooting 5 of 6 from the line. This guy, I was going to call him a kid, but he's actually a seasoned veteran after playing all those years overseas. This guy, Brad Wanamaker, an afterthought going into the season with all the roster changes and all the shuffling and all the other things that, went down with this team, has really proven to be a contributor, especially in Gordon Hayward's absence. I just like this guy's game. I was willing to write him off and say, hey, let's just take a chance and, squeeze Taco Fall in there on a regular contract and maybe, let Brad Wanamaker, slide off into the wilderness. Because, Boston Celtics already have plenty of playmaking. They got, Kemba Walker as a point guard. They got Marcus Smart. They got Carson Edwards, who's kind of more like a shooting guard in a small guard's body. But, I thought they had it, filled in. But Brad Wanamaker really, showing his veteran leadership, I think, really taking, especially in this game, and if not, having the most statistical output, taking control of the leadership spot off the bench now that Marcus Smart is playing as a starter. Brad Wanamaker, big shout-outs to Brad Wanamaker. Wonderful game from him. Celtics, just overall team stats, and then I'll be done with the statistics. 37 for 91 from the field. Not a very good sub 41% shooting, just under 41%. 13 for 33 from 3. That's probably what kept them in this game. That's probably why they won. Shooting close to 40% from 3, I know that's average in today's NBA. But when the Boston Celtics shoot 39.5% from 3, while the vaunted, albeit severely depleted due to injury, Golden State Warriors team shoots 5 for 28 for 18%. I mean, that's a significant difference. These are not the Warriors of old, folks. This is a Warriors team that is on the precipice of a rebuild, if it weren't for the fact that so many of their players, even D'Angelo Russell, who seemed to be having himself a decent game, ended up leaving with, I believe it was a hand injury, thumb injury, something like that. Left the game with 12 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block. Decent season from D'Angelo Russell. I think, he's doing his thing and with the Golden State Warriors. Not sure if he's going to be a long-term solution for them, but, the Golden State Warriors needed to do something this offseason, as we saw, obviously, Kevin Durant and some other players pick up and leave for greener pastures after the long run this Golden State Warriors team had. 16 points from some guy I never even heard of before. I'm going to have to look up his name. Pascal, 16 points, 8 rebounds on 6 to 14 shooting. Eric Pascal, despite being a the net worst negative in plus minus in the Warriors box score at negative 19, led the team in scoring. Oh, no, he didn't. I'm lying. There's another player I've never heard of. Burks led the Warriors in scoring with 20 points. Alec Burks. But Eric Pascal doing a decent job in the starting lineup, 16 points. There are a few other Warriors that scored in double figures, 11 points for Draymond Green, 10 points for Willie Cauley-Stein. It wasn't until a couple of days ago that I even knew that Willie Cauley-Stein played for the Warriors and had left the Sacramento Kings, but that's good. Let Willie Cauley-Stein do his thing. But the Boston Celtics, once again, winning 105-100. And with that, I would like to invite everybody to join me live on the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game airwaves by dialing 347-215-7771. And when you hear the automated operator, press 1, as I see that some of you on the dashboard or the switchboard have already done, to let me know that you'd like to chat live on the air. So press 1. You want to get on the air? I see you 404. I see you 207. 516. If you want to get on the air, press 1. If not, you can stay and feel free to listen. The toll-free call lines 347-215-7771 are brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Get easy, seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter CLNS80, that's CLNS80, and get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh meals. And with that, I'm going to go straight to the toll-free call lines. Once again, 347-215-7771. That is the number that 207 area code dialed. 207, what's up? What did you think about this 105-100 Boston Celtics victory over the Golden State Warriors in Golden State, as ambiguous and vague as that name may be, in Golden State? What did you think about this game, 207? And what's your name, by the way?
Blair.
What's up, Blair? How you doing? What did you think about this game?
Good. It was awfully close. We almost could have lost it, to tell you the truth. They had this game really close, and we held on, and we beat them. And to tell you the truth, Golden State, they were to have Curry in the game if he was not injured, and Klay Thompson were back, you know, and he's not going to come back. So looking at their injuries for Golden State, to tell you the truth, that's why they're so bad, because they don't have Curry, they don't have Klay Thompson. And with those two key players out of the game, that's why we beat them. And that's why I think that we're going to be one of the top teams in the NBA right now, because we have one of the goodest, greatest teams you can ever look at. Because looking at all of our great players against one of the worst teams because of their key injuries for Golden State, that's why, like, last year you would look at it, they beat us, what, twice, maybe once? But they don't have Curry. They don't have Klay Thompson. So those are their two best players. I think that they're missing. So, and they're out because of
injury. I love that description, Blair. The goodest, greatest teams, the Boston Celtics. And, of course, the Boston Celtics dealing with their own injuries. So, you know, it's not an even playing field. We can't say that, because one Gordon Hayward does not equal a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson, and then, of course, losing a Kevin Durant in free agency. But, you know, the Celtics have injuries of their own. But, of course, this is the best team in the league. The Boston Celtics are, objectively speaking, at, what is it, I believe 9-1 or 10-1 on the season, 5-1 on the road. They are objectively 10-1. Are objectively, there is no other team with only one loss in the NBA. They are objectively the best team in the NBA. And I think in seasons past, with point guards who will not be named on this show while I'm hosting, point guards that like to over dribble the ball, that like to make the game about themselves, like to be a little bit selfish, like to have a little bit of a diva attitude. This team would not have had the grit and balls, as I mentioned before, to dig themselves out of a tough struggle like this. The Boston Celtics were down by 3 points with only about a minute or a minute and a half to go in this game, and then ended up coming back, scoring, I believe, 8 straight to win by a score of 105 to 100. Blair, the phone lines are lighting up, so any last thoughts real quick?
Let me ask you one question, though.
Yes, sir.
So, asking you this because I really like to know, I know Gordon Hayward broke his hand. When are we going to expect to see him before playoffs, I hope? Or, like, what's the expectation, or when's the time of him coming back to the team so we can have really a good-looking team, like a greater team, or I don't know how you would say it, but we need Gordon Hayward, because that would be great to see him come back off a hand injury. That would take a really long time for him. I mean, I don't know how long, but a broken hand's hard to come off of.
Absolutely, Blair. Thank you for the call. Excellent question. I believe the timetable given for Gordon Hayward was approximately 6 weeks. Maybe, could be a little bit more, could be a little bit less. I know Aaron Baines had a metatarsal fracture last season, but I don't believe he had surgery. I don't recall. I know Aaron Baines is a superstar right now out there in the West, out there playing for Phoenix alongside Devin Booker. They're like the two-headed monster out there. I believe the timetable is 6 to 8 weeks. We could see Gordon Hayward. I'm not positive. I would guess. I'm assuming the Boston Celtics are playing a traditional Christmas Day game, so we could see Gordon Hayward as soon as Christmas Day, because he injured himself about a week ago. So if we're looking at a 6 to 8 week recovery, or 6 to 8 week, you know, time span on this, you know, that gives us, we're about, you know, 6 weeks from Christmas, so we could expect to see, possibly, I don't think they're going to rush, the Boston Celtics organization is going to rush Gordon Hayward back. I think they would rather have Gordon Hayward for later in the season when he's needed, when they're making a playoff push, because right now they're clicking on all 8 cylinders, and we're going to call this a V8 machine. This Boston Celtics is a V8 machine. Could even be a Jaguar, it could be a V12. You never know. They're clicking on all cylinders, however many this team has. They're clicking on all of them. And there's really not a reason at this point, unless something really, you know, changes dramatically and drastically, there's really no reason to rush Gordon Hayward back. But he is absolutely coming back this season, barring any, you know, freak, strange oddity, you know, weird, you know, thing. Like I said, probably a 6 to 8 week time frame on this injury, but there is no rush to have Gordon Hayward come back, because the Boston Celtics are playing so well right now. And as I mentioned before, in years past, this team may not have dug themselves out of this game, especially in the Oracle Arena. All the injuries, you know, aside, all of the, you know, the other factors that, you know, have decimated this Golden State Warriors team aside, the fact that they are the worst team in the league aside, Oracle Arena, I don't think it's Oracle anymore, but the Golden State Warriors Arena, and forgive me if I'm, you know, behind on the Golden State Warriors, I'm not a fan, so I don't really follow them that closely. I believed they changed their home stadium. Maybe our next caller from the 404 can answer that question for me. But the Golden State Warriors home crowd is a formidable one. It is loud. You don't want to get behind late in the game, especially with the Boston Celtics did. They falling down, I believe, 3 points with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, possibly, I think, even less than a minute and a half, and then just ripping off a huge run to win 105 to 100. And with that, I'm going to go straight back to the HelloFresh. And, of course, also, don't forget our other sponsor, betonline.ag. Toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. And get to a caller down there, looks like. Caller in the ATL, 404. What's up, 404? What's your name and where you calling from?
What's good, my man? It's been a long time, and this is Jimmy in Atlanta.
Jimmy! Bro, I'm dead ass. I'm 100% honest. I have thought about you several times in the past couple of seasons. It is good to hear your voice. I'm glad to have you back on the air. Jimmy in ATL, a longtime listener, always brings some of the best insights of the callers that we have here on CLNS Media. Thanks for calling in. Wonderful to hear from you. What did you think about this game, and what do you think about the Celtics? What do you think about what's been going on with this franchise over the past several seasons since the last time I talked to you? I'm kind of hyped right now because I'm hearing from my dude Jimmy.
I know, my man. Listen, so it's crazy. I just realized I really didn't call in maybe once last year, but you know that was a function of what that squad was doing, man. I just was not feeling them from the onset. And, you know, unfortunately, it kind of pushed into, you know, the overall feeling a lot of us Celtics fans had. And obviously, I didn't call much because of that. I'm calling now because, man, I'm feeling really good about the squad. I from jump, man, when they got rid of that dude and picked up Kemba, I felt like this squad had something to prove, you know, and I really knew that my man Jaylen Brown was going to come to the party.
Yes, sir. Georgia native.
Yes, indeed. Also, you know, I 2 years removed, you knew we were going to have our wings. This is going to be coming in strong. So at the end of the day, man, this is a game last year we would have lost, period, you know, and so to see them come in here and pull this thing out, it was good to see, man. And it's just another reason why I'm fully behind this squad. It was definitely a trap game because I think their minds were beyond this squad because, you know, the Warriors are what they are with all the injuries. They were looking forward to some of these other games here in the West. But the Warriors came out with a lot of energy, a young group of kids who had a lot to prove. So, you know, they came out with the energy, and it was a trap game. And the Celtics, this is why the Celtic fans are going to follow this squad precisely because of what we saw tonight. Plenty of cats stepping up, Jaylen with 22, Tatum with 24, and then Kemba having a terrible game, you know, comes through in the end. So that's what we need to continue to see with this squad. And as long as we see that, I think the Celtics have the opportunity to do some real good things, and who knows? We'll see what happens when the playoffs times come at the end of the year.
This team certainly, and I know it's early; it's only 11 games into the season, but you know that's almost a seventh of the way into the season. If you think about it, I know it's only 11 games, but this team certainly feels special. This team certainly feels like, you know, despite whatever adversity, and I think, you know, everybody, you know, just held their head in just disbelief that, you know, Gordon Hayward, another freak injury, not something as serious as the injury that he had, you know, two seasons ago, but just, you know, the guy, you know, pardon the pun, but the guy just can't catch a break. Well, he can catch a break, and that's the problem, but, the situation with Gordon Hayward, but despite all the adversity and his cancer going out early, all those things happening, you know, the roster turnover, and
yeah,
it just feels like this team can overcome anything. This team was down double figures in the first half of this game and really didn't look like they were getting anything, you know, like anything was happening. As you mentioned, Kemba Walker was just playing terrible. But you know what? It's not always about the quantity of points or the quantity of buckets that you score. It's about when you score them. And Kemba Walker, like a true superstar, came through when the team needed him the most. Jason Tatum playing an excellent game, as you mentioned. Jaylen Brown, an excellent game. Marcus Smart, those are the guys that, you know, the Boston Celtics are always going to look to lead them, because those are the players that, you know, that, well, I know Kemba Walker hasn't been around the longest, but Kemba Walker is a superstar in this league. And I would even argue at this point, I'm going to say that Kemba Walker, this season, that Kemba Walker is a better player than Kyrie Irving. I'm just going to go ahead and say that because I think Kemba Walker is just, this game aside, he wasn't efficient this game, but he got it done when he needed to get it done. His game, and I'm not sure who it was on Wednesday, I was hosting with Snotty Drippin' and Isaiah in Jersey called in, but one of them said something about Kemba Walker's game being so much more compact than Kyrie Irving. Whereas Kyrie Irving will, you know, dribble out 20 seconds of the clock, you know, do the dribble, penetrate, and then dribble back out, and then penetrate again, and then either take, you know, a bad, you know, shot at the end of the shot clock or pass the ball to one of his teammates for a bailout, you know what I'm saying, you know, shot. Kemba Walker gets the ball, and he shoots it. And Kemba Walker has been built for this because Kemba Walker spent his entire career up to this point. What has he been in the league, about 8 seasons? His entire career up to this point, basically being a one-man show. He would never come off a pick and roll and only see one defender. He'd have two defenders, sometimes three, just closing down the lane on him. And here he is on a Boston Celtics team where you have to account for Jason Tatum. You have to account for Jaylen Brown. You have to account for Marcus Smart. And he's coming off these pick and rolls with nobody in front of him, and he has wide open shots, and he does it quickly. He's not sitting there dribbling out the clock for 20 seconds, you know, waiting for a bad shot that he's going to take at the end of the shot clock. He's getting it done, and he's getting it done quickly. And I'm going to end this diatribe and throw it back to you, Jimmy, because I want to hear as much as I possibly can about what you think about this team and this season, is that Kemba Walker is an unselfish player. And I think that is the key to why he is so much better for Brad Stevens' system than Kyrie Irving, whereas Kyrie Irving is – I mentioned his name. I try not to say it, but the he who shall not be mentioned has that diva mentality where the game has to be about him, whether it's about him scoring or it's about him, you know, getting the assist, him being the leader, him being the focal point. Even when he's not playing, he still has to be the guy that everybody's talking about. He's always throwing the coach under the bus, throwing his young teammates under the bus, doing whatever. Kemba Walker, and I mentioned this in the previous show, I can't get enough of this quote. You would never hear Kyrie Irving saying, I said his name again, but you would never hear the previous point guard say, I want my usage rate to go down. I'm looking forward to my usage rate going down. Kemba Walker said that before this season. He said he's had his usage rate so high for so long, being the only guy down there in Charlotte playing for the Hornets, that he was looking forward to having his usage rate go down and relying on the young guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and, of course, his fellow veteran, Gordon Hayward, when he comes back. And Gordon Hayward was all-star level, all-star caliber before he went down. And all those other players that, you know, that he's surrounded by, a very full, very fleshed out, very dynamic roster in the Boston Celtics. He was looking forward to not having to shoulder so much of that burden, and I think that that's key when you have a guy that wants that. And as opposed to last year and seasons past, where I think the growth of a player like Jason Tatum was stunted by the previous point guard whose name will not be mentioned, kind of, you know, giving him the side eye for, you know, maybe taking too many shots. Kemba Walker's out there encouraging, you know, Jason Tatum, even in that terrible 1-for-18 shooting night that he had in Dallas just about a week ago, Kemba Walker was out there encouraging him, giving him, you know, the positive affirmation. Keep shooting that ball. You're getting good looks. Keep shooting it. And Jason Tatum went from having a 1-for-18, you know, terrible night to then coming back in the subsequent game against the Washington Wizards, in which the Wizards were really gunning for the Boston Celtics. It was Isaiah Thomas's return to TD Garden with his fourth team since leaving the Celtics, and Jason Tatum rebounded and, you know, did his thing and, you know, carried that team along with, you know, Kemba and some of the other players. But this is a much more this is what Boston Celtics basketball is. This is what Brad Stevens basketball is. Unselfish,
that's right.
Always making the extra pass, everybody getting their looks, and these are the looks and the shots that Brad Stevens wants the team to take, and they're not forced. They got looks before, but sometimes they really seemed forced. They seemed like, you know, if you couldn't get the ISO going with, you know, with he who shall not be named, then it was okay, let's make the extra pass, and then we'll go to plan B, which is Brad Stevens' offense, whereas plan A was, I'm just going to dribble the ball and see if I can't make myself look good with, you know what I'm saying, all the jelly and all the handles and all the whatever else. This is what fans have been looking for, and I don't blame you for not wanting to be in it, because, you know, it was tough for me, and I'll throw it back to you right after this. It was tough for me to try to remain objective last season and in previous seasons watching that player and trying not to alienate fans, because there were a lot of Boston Celtics fans, many of them, you know, jumping on the bandwagon that, you know, that really liked Kyrie Irving, and I did not want to alienate those fans from CLNS Media, because I work for CLNS Media and it's not all about my opinion. So I had to kind of temper the way, you know, the criticisms. But boy, I did not like covering last season. I did not like talking about last season. It was just, even in games that the Celtics won, it was difficult for me to get through that. And this team is a complete 180 night and day, and I love it. It's wonderful, and I think you feel the same way, and I'm glad that you're calling back in to rejoin the CLNS family. I know that was a whole lot of stuff to get through, but this is a gritty, hard-fought win, and, you know, this is a gritty, hard hat and lunch pail Boston Celtics team.
Yeah, man. So what I would say to all of that is you broke down Kemba really well, and I'll just, you know, real quickly just say he's just much, much more fluid for the team, man. The team is more fluid, and one of the keys that where I felt that the team would get back to really the Brad Stevens system is that I did hear him say in off season that there was a part of with that other player in there that they changed their system a little bit, and you can see the way they play. It was a lot more one man ball versus the movement of the ball and everyone who, you know, has an opportunity, especially if they're hot, to get after it. And so that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing the ball move around, and what is it, four? If you include everybody, I don't know what Jaylen's average is at now, but it's probably close to 20 points a game. That'd be four players on a squad averaging 20 points a game. I mean, that's amazing. And so, you know, that's good. Sure, we need some more from our bench, but at the end of the day, that's just showing you the improvement of the overall team and how fluid Kemba Walker's presence is out there. And it's really what you call a team game, man. And so as long as they continue to play like that, I think they'll be fine. The defense is huge, the way that they're playing, aggressive, really hard. And everyone keeps talking about needing another five. You know, I honestly think they're good. I don't know that they need to make any big trade to go get some player who, to me, it may take away from what you got going on now. Just move forward. The only team that, you know, is going to kill us because of size, to me, is Philly. So everybody else in the doggone league has the same problem with Philly as well. So roll what we got, unless, you know, of course, Danny's the man, so he can figure something out. But, you know, I like the move of having Tice. I like Tice 2 years ago when he first came to the Celtics before he got injured. He's playing crazy well, and so I think they roll with that and rotate until we can get, you know, Rob Williams a little more meat on his bones, a little more muscle, and get him up to par to where maybe he can get to a point where he could be a starter possibly. But I say roll with what we got, man. Let's see what the Celtics can continue to do, and just roll with it, man. Let's go for it, C's.
I couldn't agree more, and I don't think that there's a player out there without breaking up. Because, you know, if you look at the players that have, you know, meat on their contract bones, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, you know, Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker, I don't think you want to move any of those guys to break up that chemistry. I mean, those are guys that all play together. Maybe not Gordon Hayward, but, you know, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, who all played together on that FIBA team. I know the FIBA team didn't do all that well in the World Cup over the summer, but I think that's a major contributor, and I think people underestimate that because the team didn't do so well, and I know some in the media because they just can't, you know, resist the opportunity to take pot shots at Boston Celtics Boston athletes and Boston teams, you know, yeah. kind of trying to, you know, place some of the blame on the Celtics players for the poor showing in the FIBA World Cup. But I think you can't underestimate that, you know, that playing time, the practices.
Absolutely.
You know, even if the games weren't all that great, the practices they had together, in which those players, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, played together. Got some chemistry, got some momentum heading into the season, and I don't think you want to break that up. And I don't know who the player would be. We had this discussion on the post game show on Wednesday after the Wizards game. Who would that player be? I think the Boston Celtics, and I agree with you 100% that, you know, as Robert Williams, I know he's had it. He's kind of, you know, now on a downward curve after, you know, coming out, you know, really guns blazing, you know, really impressive earlier in the season. He's now kind of, you know, trailed off a little bit, but, you know, he's going to get better. He still needs to get better.
That's
on
right,
some of his
young.
Rotations. Absolutely. He needs to hit the gym, but he can jump out of the He can jump out of the gym. It's been a long, long time. I can't remember the last time the Boston Celtics have had a player like him that can, you know, get eye level with the rim on both ends of the court. You know, he changes shots, he blocks shots on defense because he can get that high, because he has such incredibly amazing ups, and who can also basically, if you put it up there, I mean, if it's a reasonable lob, you know, Lob Williams is going to grab that and throw it down. And it's been a long time since you've had a guy that's been able to get vertical like that, run the court for the Boston Celtics. And I think he is somewhat of a underrated passer, and also an underrated. I'm glad I'm not the only one, you know, that sees it. I know that a lot of people do. I'm not going to take credit as being the only person that sees that, but I think he's an underrated passer, and I think he's also an underrated perimeter defender. I've seen him stay on the hip of quite a few players that are faster and, you know, smaller than he is, and he's been able to, you know, stay on their hip. Not saying that you want him, you know, out there playing, you know, wings, but, you know, on the Boston Celtics are a switch defense, and, you know, getting him out there, if he has that ability, if he has that capability, I think that's also one of the reasons why Daniel Tice is somewhat effective. Daniel Tice is undersized for a quote-unquote big, but he's, you know, that being a little bit smaller, being a little bit more slender, gives him the ability to stay, you know, with some of those players on defense. I think, and I'm going to end, you know, the commentary on, you know, what you just said, because I agree with you completely. I don't think the Boston Celtics need to make any drastic moves. I know there's a lot of people out there. I read them on Twitter. I read them on the Boston Celtics Bleed Green Facebook group. I have nearly 100,000 members. It's a group that moderate, administrate. A lot of people talk, well, Boston Celtics, we still need a center. If we could just get a center, we'd be. No, because you have one of the best perimeter defenses. You have some of the best perimeter wings. You have Marcus Smart, who is probably the best perimeter wing, at least in the Eastern Conference. I know Patrick Beverley's out there. I really like Patrick Beverley as well. Kawhi Leonard, obviously, is exceptional. But Marcus Smart is one of the best perimeter defensive players in the league, and Jaylen Brown is coming into his own as another very fantastic, outstanding perimeter defender. And when you have players that can stop the penetration from the perimeter, you don't have to have a superstar center to, you know, to pick up that slack, because your perimeter defenders, your wing defenders are getting blown by. They don't get blown by that, you know, that often, and they cut off a lot of that penetration. And all you need is a guy like Tice, who can, you know, who is a good help side shot blocker. All you need is a guy like Robert Williams, Time Lord, whatever you want to call him, you know, who's an excellent, you know, shot blocker that can change, you know, shots. Ennis Kanter, not really known for his defense, but he's a big body. He can get in there, and he's also a good offensive rebounder, one of the better offensive rebounding bigs. So if you know, a shot is missed on the offensive end, he can frequently grab that and, you know, get the putback. Not really a fan of what I've seen from Vincent Poirier. I think Poirier is – I would much rather just take the chance and have Taco fall on the roster and let him learn along with the other guys. But he's getting run, and maybe that's more productive. I'm not going to question Brad Stevens. He is the man. He is one of the best he is the best young coach in the league and probably one of the best two or three coaches, if not the best coach. In my opinion, he's my favorite. I would go out there and make the hot take that he is the best coach. They have the best record. And there's been so much, turnover with this roster that he's been able to really bring things back together after a disastrous season last year in terms of chemistry and in terms of, the way those things, the way things went down last year. Brad Stevens has really thus far reclaimed some of that luster and some of that shine of being, one of the brilliant young coaching minds, one of the brilliant coaching minds, period, in this league. Yeah. So to finish off, in put the punctuation on our agreement on that point, I don't think the Boston Celtics need to really make moves as much as having a name, a name brand big would be nice for this team. I wouldn't want to sacrifice some of the chemistry and some of the gains that this team has made. I wouldn't want to sacrifice the momentum this team has when they have such good perimeter defense and all they really need is somebody that can get, that can just fill those gaps if somebody happens to, break through the perimeter defense just to be able to, chain shots. And I think moving forward, he's only in his second year. This is just the beginning of his second year. The guy is still practically a rookie. Robert Williams is going to get better. He's already gotten better from last season. You can tell the difference, leaps and bounds from last year. That just a little bit more, seasoning, a little bit more, like you mentioned, bulk and weight in weight room, a little bit more, awareness, now that he can learn that. The excellent coaching staff that can, get this guy ready. I think Robert Williams is going to be an increasingly important role on this team. Daniel Tice as well has been playing very solid basketball, so I wouldn't make any moves either. I think you have awesome perimeter defense, and then you have just enough, with guys like Lob Williams and Daniel Tice to, fill the gaps in the middle. So excellent point, Jimmy. Anything else you'd like to mention about this game or this season before I see if there's anybody else that wants to jump on the line?
Nah, my man, I think I got it, man. I'm feeling the squad and that I want to call in and talk about this team, man. So, this West Coast trip will mean a lot because, sure, the Seas haven't played a terribly tough schedule yet. So, we want to see what they're going to do when we get over here and play some of these teams on the West Clippers and see what that looks like and see how we pan out after that. But see a little adversity, man. There's nothing wrong with I'm kind of interested in seeing when the Celtics do lose two games in a row and how they react to that. Whereas, in previous couple of years, we didn't necessarily react very well. So this team hasn't seen that type of adversity just yet. So when we do, I want to see how they react. I suspect they're going to react really well to it because you can just feel the camaraderie on this squad, man, and that's why I'm all in for the Celtics in 2019-20.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the call, Jimmy. It's wonderful hearing your voice, and I hope that you make more frequent calls now that this team, now that the Boston Celtics have put a product on the parquet that's worth watching, not something that's painful to watch. And I think that most objective Celtics fans would agree that given past seasons, even when they weren't playing all that well, there were times, at the end of the Big Three era where it was, it was tough watching, our favorite players, watching Paul age, watching, Kevin Garnett age, and then, Ray Allen turning his back, and then watching, Rajon Rondo after the Big Three left, Rajon Rondo hurt himself. And there were some tough years. There were some lean years. Although when you look back and think about it, there was only one season where the Boston Celtics missed the playoffs. And all that time, I think some of the toughest, part of that maybe I think was – must have been, I think, the last year that, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were in Boston and they lost in the first round to the New York Knicks. of all teams, the New York Knicks, the team that can't even, you know, hasn't sniffed the playoffs, I don't think, since. I don't even remember what they've done. The New York Knicks are just even that was more, you know, exciting than watching what we saw last season from the Boston Celtics led, and I use that term loosely, led, but, you know, with its, you know, at its head being the, you know, the aforementioned point guard who should not, who will not go named, who will not be named on this show. This is a product that you want to watch. This is the epitome of Boston sports. This is the epitome of Boston Celtics basketball. A team that is unselfish, a team that you can tell wants to play together, is excited to be out on the court together, that would lay their, you know, themselves on the line for each other. This playing not just for themselves and for their own stats and for their own, you know, movie deals and for their own, you know, nose jobs and for their own other things like that, that are playing for each other, not just for their own statistics. This is a product that you want to watch. And not many people, not many of the quote-unquote experts, saw this coming. And again, it's only 11 games into the season, but not many experts saw this coming, and quote-unquote experts saw this coming. And the Boston Celtics, you know, this, you know, like I said, one-seventh of the way, I don't know what that translates with, like 15% of the season done or 10% of the season, something like that, 15% of the season done. Nobody expected the Boston Celtics to be the best team in the league. They lost a very heavily officiated, I'll call it, opening night game in Philadelphia, and have since won 10 games in a row. The longest winning streak, by the way, of Kemba Walker's career, the longest active winning streak in the NBA, obviously, and they are the best team, objectively, best record, and they haven't been playing, you know, nothing but cupcakes. They've played some very solid teams, and they've beaten some very solid teams. The Dallas Mavericks were a solid team. The Milwaukee Bucks were many people's preseason choice to be the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Defeated the Milwaukee Bucks in a game in which, again, a game in which they looked like they were dead in the water, and then came back, fought back, clawed back, you know, scratched and dragged themselves out of that hole to win that game. That's not something we would have seen from Celtics teams in the past couple of years, and that's something that we're getting from this team because of all the things that we just mentioned. The camaraderie, the unselfishness, the way this team plays together, the chemistry, the all those things that make this a fantastic product on the court. Once again, we're about to wrap up this show, but I'd like to give everybody a chance, if you're still listening, still out there listening, a chance to call in if you want to jump on the lines. 347-215-7771. Toll-free call lines brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. I'm just going to try this. If you are just listening and don't want to get on the air, feel free to let me know, or just don't say anything at all. Area code 516, I see you've been on the switchboard for quite a while. 516, did you want to get on the air, or you just listening? All right, 516, that's cool. We appreciate you tuning in, calling in, and just listening. With that, I'm going to pay some bills real quick with this real quick read from betonline.ag, and then I'll wrap up the show and let you guys know about our next show coming up this Sunday against the Sacramento Kings. The CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show, like all episodes this season, brought to you by HelloFresh, of course, but also brought to you by another one of our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. If sports betting is your thing, you have come to the right place. BetOnline is a leading, fully licensed online sport betting site catering to all types of bettors, regardless of experience or bankroll. They provide bettors with a safe and professional environment to wager on their favorite sports. They offer betting options on all major sports leagues, including the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA, a whole lot of alphabet soup, and more. Other sports betting options include horse racing, NASCAR, soccer, tennis, boxing, cricket, MMA, and much, much more. No other site comes close to offering their level of betting options and expertise. With BetOnline.ag, the latest betting and wagering opportunities abound. Whether it is March Madness or the Super Bowl, the Triple Crown or the Breeders' Cup, you can be sure to get a piece of the action with BetOnline.ag. Additionally, BetOnline.ag also offers a variety of exciting and very generous welcome bonuses and rewards. All you have to do is sign up today, and you will soon be ready to start betting and winning. So what are you waiting for? Join the sports betting action with BetOnline.ag today. Like I said, the Boston Celtics taking the game tonight against the Warriors. The first place Boston Celtics going into the Bay Area with a 9-1 record, having won 9 games in a row, taking on the injury decimated last place in the league, Golden State Warriors, a team with a very rich recent history, been to the past, I believe, 5 finals in a row. Insane. Past 5 finals in a row, but no Steph Curry, no Klay Thompson. Kevin Durant left town to go, you know, do whatever he's doing out there in Brooklyn, recovering, you know, rehabbing out there in Brooklyn. We wish him the best rehabbing, although we don't wish him the best when he plays the Boston Celtics next season. Boston Celtics taking the opening punch on the chin, first quarter punch on the chin from the Warriors, falling down early, falling down by double figures early, but then clawing their way back. Like I said, grabbing their lunch pails, putting on their hard hats, doing their job, to borrow a phrase from the other New England sports team, the other New England championship sports team, highly decorated sports team, the New England Patriots. The Boston Celtics, just even when you have a terrible game to start out with from Kemba Walker, made baskets when it counted, made baskets in the clutch, and just, you know, really did his thing. Gives Boston Celtics fans something to be extremely, extremely excited about. This team has all the makings, all the markings of a team that is poised to do something special. You have a lot of other teams, like the Philadelphia 76ers, that just, you know, shoved together a whole bunch of talent. They stole away one of our key players. The guy who greased the gears, I believe a wise man once said, for the Boston Celtics with his, you know, passing, his rebounding, his defense. Al Horford, you know, betraying us to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. And yet, all that, all those, you know, marquee names, the Joel Embiids, you know, the Ben Simmons, the Al Horfords, the Tobias Harris, if that's a marquee name. I never considered Tobias Harris a marquee name, but don't tell him I said that. But, you know, not much shooting on that team. But, you know, Al Horford decided to go join the Philadelphia 76ers to be the jump shooter that he always wanted to be, because he just wasn't cut out for all the banging and bruising down low. That's fine. The Boston Celtics adjusted. They filled in those roster spots. I think the biggest loss of the postseason was off season was Aaron Baines, who's out there balling out in Arizona with the Phoenix Suns. But that's all right, because the Boston Celtics have adjusted and they've proven that they have what it takes to come back from all types of adversity, whether it's injury adversity, whether it's falling down in games and being able to play themselves back in. This team is built to get things done. This team is built to play for each other, and it's exciting to watch. It's fun to watch, and you know that it's fun to watch because we here at CLNS Media can look at the post-game show numbers. We look at how many listeners we have after every game, and the numbers are up. We're getting back old callers that, you know, that used to call almost every single post-game that we haven't heard from in a year or two, that are now finally calling back because the product on the court is something they want to see. It's something that Boston Celtics fans are excited about, and it's not this painful, like pulling teeth. Last season was like pulling teeth. And this team Kemba Walker was the perfect addition. I think in many ways there was addition by subtraction, getting rid of some of the, you know, the massive egos and some of the, you know, the over dribbling and some of the diva complexes and some of the flat earth theories, and just coming in with, you know, smart guys like Grant Williams, who, as he came into the league, took a shot at Kyrie, or the previous point guard's belief in the flat earth, and a guy like Kemba Walker, who doesn't want his usage rate to increase, who doesn't want to have the ball in his hands, you know, at every moment of every game, dribbling out the shot clock, who wants to get his teammates involved, who's encouraging his teammates. And then guys like Marcus Smart, who've improved their efficiency, who are now elite 3-and-D guys. If they weren't, you know, elite D guys before, they're now elite 3-and-D guys that are efficient, that are, you know, as mentioned in the previous show, this team, their play, the way they get things done, much more compact, much more efficient, a lot more grit and balls, getting things done, and it's exciting for Boston Celtics fans to watch. That said, we'd like to remind everybody, thank everybody for tuning in to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show tonight, and remind everybody that our next postgame show will be Sunday, this Sunday, the 17th, at 6 o'clock. Tip-off against the Kings at Sacramento is 3:30, and of course, as always, the postgame show tips off 2.5 hours after the game tips off. So give you 2.5 hours to watch the game, then tune back in at 6 o'clock Eastern time and watch, or listen, tune in and listen to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. Not sure who will be hosting, but you know, whoever it is, if it is a CLNS Media host, you're going to get quality analysis, quality breakdowns, you're going to get stats, you're going to get big picture, you're going to get, you know, the view of, you know, just the game itself. You're going to get big picture season. You're going to get, you know, talk about, you know, injury updates, talk of, you know, moves that could possibly be made. I personally don't want to see any moves. I want to see this team build itself, flesh itself out. But as I said, if it's a CLNS Media host, you're going to get some quality analysis. So with that said, would like to thank everybody for tuning in to this edition of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. We'd like to thank all of our callers, Blair in Maine, and especially my man, Jimmy in Atlanta. Jimmy, it was good to hear from you again. Excellent stuff as always. Please feel free to call. You are VIP anytime, whether I'm hosting or anybody else is hosting. We all love to hear from you. You are the epitome of the ideal CLNS Media caller, informed, insightful. Thanks for calling in. Wonderful to hear from you. And with that said, I'd like to wish everybody a good evening, good morning if you're out here on the East Coast like I am, and tune in Sunday at 6 o'clock after the Boston Celtics take on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. Thanks for tuning in.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. Me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy.